Acts chapter 2, look at verse 41. Then they that gladly received his word were baptized. And the same day, there were added unto them about 3,000 souls. Wow! This is an amazing day. This message was preached the day of Pentecost. Whoa, 3,000 souls saved, baptized, added to the church. Verse 42, and they continued steadfastly. That's the word we're going to look at tonight. They continued steadfastly in the apostles' doctrine and fellowship and in breaking of bread and in prayers. And fear came upon every soul, and many wonders and signs were done by the apostles. And all that believed were together and had all things common, and sold their possessions and goods and parted them to all men as every man had need. And they, continuing daily with one accord and in the temple and breaking bread from house to house, did eat their meat with gladness and singleness of heart, praising God and having favor with all the people. And the Lord added to the church daily such as should be saved. We've got a challenge here. They continued steadfastly. I want to preach a message tonight, and it's just they continued steadfastly. I believe this is one of the things that those disciples did, those early Christians did, that God blessed. And I believe that this is something that we can do. Every one of us, as we hear the message tonight, we can walk out and we can say, I can do that. I can be faithful. The message tonight is about being steadfast. It's about being faithful. And we'll preach through the verses as well. Doctrine, fellowship, breaking of bread, and prayers. That's what the Bible said they were steadfast in. Verse 42, they continued steadfastly in the apostles' doctrine and fellowship and in breaking of bread and in prayers. Those things are vitally important in a Christian's life. Doctrine, fellowship, breaking of bread, prayers. But get this, none of them are effective without faithfulness. Think about this. They continued steadfastly in doctrine. They continued steadfastly in fellowship. They continued steadfastly in breaking of bread. They continued steadfastly in prayers. And all of those are wonderful things, but I think the list could continue of things that they continued steadfastly in. We'll talk about those things specifically. But all of them are not effective if it wasn't for faithfulness. If the Bible would have said that they came every once in a while and they continued once in a while in doctrine or once in a while in fellowship or once in a while breaking of bread or sometimes they would pray, we would have a different result. You can believe the right doctrine, but what good is it if you change what you believe when it's no longer convenient for you? You've got to continue steadfast in the doctrine. God needs Christians who will continue steadfastly in doctrine. And here you go. Faithfulness is the key. Faithfulness. You can be a great encouragement to other Christians through fellowship, but it hurts the body of Christ when you're not a faithful friend. A faithful friend is a true treasure. A friend that will stick with you. You've heard fair weather friend. And you've heard of that. A friend that sticks with you whenever things are going good, whenever things turn bad, I'm not your friend anymore. Or you can't find them. A faithful friend is a treasure. Faithfulness is the key. Steadfast. You can show up to serve. But what the New Testament church really needs is someone who will be there to serve every time. Not just once in a while. Not just when they feel like it, but every time. Faithfulness. So this church in Jerusalem, it grew to be very large. We don't know how many people were in it, but picture this. In one day, 3,000 people got saved and were baptized and became part of this church family. And then the Bible says there was added to the church daily. This church was growing. It was amazing. And they were, as close as I can understand, they were continuing the method of community that Jesus and his disciples had used. How did Jesus and his disciples work? Well, there was one guy that held what they called the purse, right? And that was Judas. Judas Iscariot. He was the guy that kept the money. So they'd all put it together. They'd put it in that one purse, and whenever it was time to eat, they would eat together. And it would come out of that purse. They just all kind of put into it, and they all just got out of it. Whenever it was time to eat, they would just all eat together. Now, it worked pretty well for 12 or 13 people. But this church grew and it grew and it grew. Thousands of people now are gathering together. And not only were they studying the Bible together, and that'd be the doctrine. Not only were they spending time together, that'd be fellowship. Not only were they praying together, and that's the continuing in prayer, but they were eating together. That's how we know they were Baptists. Because they were eating together. No, I don't know that that's for... But this is part of what they were doing. They continued steadfast in doctrine and fellowship, in breaking of bread, and in prayers. Now, the term breaking of bread is used in the Bible about eating a meal, and sometimes it's used in the Bible regarding the Lord's Supper. It's used both ways, and it's very clearly used both ways. I think in this case, it's used talking about eating a meal, because in chapter 2, verse 46, the Bible says, "And they continuing daily with one accord in the temple, and breaking bread from house to house, did eat their meat with gladness and singleness of heart." So that, I believe that's what it's talking about. They're continuing steadfast in the teaching of the Word of God, the doctrine. They're continuing steadfast in the fellowship, and they're getting together to encourage one another. They're continuing steadfast in prayer, and they're coming to prayer meetings, and they're steadfast in that, but they're steadfast in this area of, I don't think just eating here. I think there's more to it than that, because any of us can do that. I could show up whenever it's time to eat. What do we say? You can call me anything you want, just don't call me late for dinner. We could show up. I think there's more to it than just that. And I believe what we see here is a faithfulness, a steadfastness to serve. Everyone can just show up and eat, but food doesn't just prepare itself. You ever heard that? All right? Money doesn't grow on trees. Food doesn't prepare itself. Kind of the same type of a statement. So there's got to be somebody here that's showing up, and I believe there were lots of people who were faithful. They were steadfast to show up and serve. And they got together for doctrine, they got together for fellowship, and they got together for this continued steadfastly in this breaking of bread. When everyone's depending on you to prepare meals for them, you can't just show up when you want to. Moms understand this. If you are the one who prepares the meals at your house, you understand this. You can't just show up whenever you want to if you're the one responsible. You've got to plan, you've got to prepare, and you've got to be faithful. If you only made a meal for your family whenever you felt like making a meal, there might be times whenever your family didn't get a meal, right? Because I don't feel like making a meal right now. Now, if you've got people you're responsible for, you do it whether you feel like it or not. You're just faithful. You're steadfast. So the Bible says they continued steadfast, and this is just one area I'm using it as an illustration. When I worked at camp, we had a kitchen that fed 300 people. It'd feed them breakfast, it'd feed them lunch, and it would feed them dinner. That's a lot of meals. I never worked on the kitchen staff, but I did get recruited to wash dishes quite often. It took a lot of time. It took a lot of preparation. Was that an amen? I love that. I love that. All right, so the rest of y'all can just learn from that example, right? Be thou an example of the believers, right? Even if you're a youth. The kitchen staff at camp had to get up before anybody else at camp. You know, people didn't come to camp to eat. You never go to camp to eat. That'd be one of the dumbest things in the world, go to camp to eat, right? Well, sometimes we'd have good food. You'd go to camp for other things. You go to camp to use a swimming pole or go shoot the rifles archery or go camping, you know, use to sleep in a tent, whatever. Most people don't go to camp to eat, but if you didn't have the people there making the food, you couldn't have the camp. So they would get up early in the morning before anybody else was up, and they'd go into the dining hall, they'd start preparing breakfast. They would spend hours preparing breakfast for 300 people. And as soon as breakfast was served, you know what they would do? They'd start making lunch. They didn't even take a break. Start preparing lunch. And as soon as lunch was served, you know what they would do? They'd start serving dinner. And as soon as dinner was done, they'd leave. And then everybody else had to clean up the dining hall. And I guess it just depends on which staff we had at particular years. You know, moms, you understand how that works. You can't just show up at mealtime and hope something was prepared. What does it take? It takes faithful people. Faithful men, faithful women. This is an illustration. We need faithful men, faithful women, faithful boys, faithful girls, faithful teens. We need faithful people who don't just show up when it's convenient for them, but come every time they're supposed to. And you see here, the faithfulness is the key. So they continued. They continued steadfast in doctrine. They continued steadfast in fellowship. They continued steadfast in breaking of bread. They continued steadfast in prayers. You can come to prayer times, but it's really valuable if you'll faithfully come to prayer times. You can pray, but it's really valuable if you're faithful to pray. You're steadfast in your time of prayer. Let me ask you this question. How long would you keep your job if the only time you went to work was the days you felt like it? We probably, most of us, would have lost our job already. There's a lot of days we don't feel like going to work. We don't feel like showing up, but you've learned this. You learn to be faithful. And when it comes to these things that the Bible's teaching us, we need to learn to be faithful. Faithfulness is the key. Why did God bless the church in the first chapters of Acts? Well, one reason, I really believe, is because the people were faithful. You know, faithfulness doesn't come naturally. Now, I'm not preaching at you tonight, okay? I want to encourage you. You came on a Sunday night on one of the biggest blizzards we've had this year, right? Okay, so you survived the blizzard of 18. We thought it was earlier in the year, but we got another one. Maybe it'll snow more later. I'm not preaching at you tonight, and I'm not trying to... I understand. It's like, Pastor, we're the ones that are here tonight. Now, that's not the issue. I just want you to help you understand faithfulness is so important. Faithfulness to whatever it is that God calls you to do, it is so vital. Faithfulness doesn't come naturally. It's the opposite of selfishness. Selfishness comes naturally. It's all about me. A baby is selfish. Babies are, they want. They don't care what anybody else gets. It's just all about them. And eventually we can teach them, it's not all about you, but selfishness is natural. Faithfulness, though, has to do with denying myself. It has to do with doing what I'm supposed to do, even if I don't want to do it on a particular day. Faithfulness is key. Faithful people go to work when they'd rather have a day off. Now, I'm not the one that says never take a day off. I believe in days off. I think it's a great thing. But if you earn a day off, take a day off. If you're sick and you have sick days available, take a sick day, but don't take a sick day because you want a day off. Faithful people go to work when they'd rather have a day off. Faithful people go to school when they don't feel like it. That's what faithfulness is. Steadfast, I'm going to do what I'm supposed to do. Regardless, I'm not going to move. One of my teachers in Bible college, his name was Dr. Pete Cowling. Some of you have met him. He earned his doctorate and he taught at the University of Tennessee. I think this is right. Is University of Tennessee the one that's orange? Is that the right one? Kind of an orange color? Okay. So that's where the Volunteers. Is that correct? Okay. So that's where he taught. He earned his doctorate degree, taught there. He moved over and started teaching at Hiles Anderson College when I was there. I was taking calculus class. He was the calculus teacher. One day, some of the girls in calculus class cut class. That means they didn't show up to class. They cut class because they weren't feeling well. And you had a certain amount of cuts that you were allowed in each class before you had to forfeit the class or before you'd start losing grades, that type of thing. I remember that morning, the girls cut class because they weren't feeling well. One of their friends, I guess, came in and said, they're not going to be here this morning. They're not feeling well. They cut. They got a cut. It was okay. They were allowed to do it. But then Dr. Pete Cowling spent a few minutes teaching us that college was preparation for life. And in life, you can't just skip things when you're not feeling well. I learned that. It was so good. He said, you can't take a break. He's talking to the ladies. You can't take a break from being a mom just because you don't feel well. He says, you got to learn to be faithful. You got to learn to be steadfast. You got to do what you're supposed to do even when you don't feel like it sometimes. So while doctrine, fellowship, breaking of bread, and prayers, that's what's mentioned here. They're vitally important in a Christian's life. None of them are effective without being steadfast, without being faithful. So tonight the message is this, steadfast. They continued steadfastly. God blessed the faithfulness of those early Christians. Did you realize God blesses faithfulness? That's where I want to get to tonight. I'm going to get there as quick as I can. We're going to have a bit of a Bible drill tonight as we go. All right? So get your Bibles. It's a Bible study type of a message. So I want you to stay tuned. I want you to stay plugged in. And here's what you're going to do. You can hold your Bible. You can hold it like this. All right. You can't hold it like this because you can hold it like this. You put your fingers in there and we can find out that you may be cheating. All right. Not that anybody here would do that, but you could. And I don't want that to happen. So we're going to turn to a few places. If you find it, here's what I want you to do. I want you to stand up, and I just want you to say the first couple of words of that verse just so that I know that you found it. Not, you don't have to participate, but I'd like you to. And everybody try to find that place because we're going to go to lots of places, and this way we get there fast and we know that we're all there together. Okay, I'm going to give you the verse, and then if you find it, you stand, you start reading it, and I'll read the rest of the verse, and we're going to learn the rest of our lesson as we go to lots of different places in the Bible. We're looking at steadfast, and we're looking at faithfulness. Did you have your Bible? Hope you have your Bible tonight. You can participate. Here we go. The first one, I'm going to say it two times. 1 Corinthians 15:58. Now, don't go there yet. Don't go yet. After I say the second time, I'll say go. Ready? 1 Corinthians 15:58, go. See if you can find that. 1 Corinthians 15:58. As soon as you find it, you can stand up. You can start saying the words. Yes, sir. John, I think you had that first. That's it. That's the one. Now, that was kind of a toss-up because John raised his hand and Stephanie, you stood up, okay? But I'm not sure who that was. Therefore, my beloved brethren, look at this. Be ye steadfast, unmovable, always abounding in the work of the Lord, for as much as ye know that your labor is not in vain in the Lord. What does it mean to be steadfast? Steadfast is firmly fixed or established. It means constant, firm, resolute. It means not fickle. All right? Fickle. Means you change your mind. You just change. Oh, today I feel like this. Today I feel like this. Steadfast is firm. Okay? Some of those words again. It is firmly fixed, established, constant, resolute. I'm picturing a concrete pillar when I'm thinking of steadfast. I'm standing fast. I'm standing in a place. This is not going to move. And the Bible says, be steadfast, unmovable, always abounding in the work of the Lord. What do we learn from this? Start serving God and don't quit. Figure out what you're going to do. I'm going to serve God. I'm going to live my life for God, and I'm not going to quit. Be steadfast, unmovable, always abounding in the work of the Lord. Start serving God. Don't quit. Keep standing for right. Keep standing for God, and don't quit. You need, listen, Christians, you got to get this. Don't quit. Don't quit. There will be times when you want to quit. There will be days when you want to quit. Just stand firm. Don't quit. All right, get your Bibles ready. 1 Peter 5:8. Don't go yet. Wait till I say it the second time. 1 Peter 5:8. Go. 1 Peter 5:8. There you go, Stephanie. Oh. Vigilant. Abigail got it. That's great. Now listen to this verse. Be sober. Be vigilant. Because your adversary, the devil, as a roaring lion, walketh about seeking whom he may devour. Verse 9, whom resist steadfast in the faith, knowing that the same afflictions are accomplished in your brethren that are in the world. Stand firmly against the devil. You've got an enemy. The devil wants to destroy you, and he's going to try to pull you his direction. We talked about this in Sunday school this morning. He's going to try to pull you his direction, and the more he pulls you towards him, the more you become like him. We learned this morning in Sunday school. He is a liar and the father of lies. The more he pulls you towards him, the less honest you will be. He does not value truth. He's a liar. The more he pulls you towards him, the less you will value life. Satan, he values death. He glories in death. He devalues life. And the more he can pull you his direction, the more you will be like him. So stand firm, resist, steadfast. What's it mean to be steadfast? Firmly fixed, established, constant, firm, resolute, and not fickle. And not fickle just makes me laugh because I think fickle is a funny word. You ready for another one? Ephesians 6:13. Don't start yet. Ephesians 6:13. Go. That was a tie. You don't get any tighter than that. That was great. But you found it. Ephesians 6:13. Look at that with me. Wherefore, take unto you the whole armor of God, that ye may be able to withstand in the evil day, and having done all to, what's that word? Stand. You will be attacked, and there will be an evil day. And when you're standing there, and if you've done everything that you can do, you can't do anything else, just stand. What's the very first word of the next verse, verse 14? Stand. Steadfast has to do with standing. In this one place, I'm standing firm. So we've got this command, take the armor of God so you can withstand an evil day. And having done all, everything's done. You've shot all your ammunition. You're out of weapons. You're out of strength. But you can still stand. Stand, therefore, having your loins girt about with truth, and having on the breastplate of righteousness, and your feet shod with the preparation of the gospel of peace, and above all, taking the shield of faith, wherewith ye shall be able to quench all the fiery darts of the wicked, and take the helmet of salvation and the sword of the Spirit, which is the word of God, praying always with all prayer and supplication in the Spirit, and watching thereunto with all perseverance and supplication for all saints. Put your armor on. Fight the battle. And if you feel like I'm not making any progress, I can't go forward, I'm not accomplishing anything, just stand. If you can't do anything else, just keep standing. Just keep standing. Remain steadfast. The definition for steadfast, remember this, was firmly fixed or established, constant, firm, resolute, not fickle. Let me give you the definition for faithful, all right? Here's the ones that, you know how the dictionary gives you a list and top five or so? Faithful, firm, constant, not fickle. Isn't that interesting? Another fickle. What's this mean? It means if I am faithful, I'm being steadfast. The Bible uses the word steadfast. It uses the word faithful. So we looked up some words, some verses that had to do with being steadfast. I want to challenge you to be steadfast, but at the same time, I want to challenge you to be faithful. God will bless faithfulness. We need to get that. Our culture has missed faithfulness. Our culture, my generation, has missed faithfulness. We get the idea that we show up every once in a while and everything's okay. Hey, aren't you glad I'm here? No. No, let's show up and serve. Let's show up and be faithful. Let's show up and be steadfast. Okay, you ready? I've got a few more. Get your Bible ready. We're looking for the word faithful now. Psalm 12. Well, this is going to be fast. All right. Psalm 12, 1. You ready? Get your Bible ready. Psalm 12, 1. Go. Psalm 12, 1. That's it. That's it. Help, Lord. That's how I feel sometimes as a pastor. Help, Lord. The godly man sees, what else does it say? For the faithful fail from among the children of men. If you're a manager at work, you felt that one. Help, Lord, the godly man sees it, and there's no faithful people. How many? Anybody here, you make the schedule for work? You make the schedule at your place? That would probably be the most frustrating job. If you worked at a McDonald's or a Burger King or an Arby's or a Taco Bell, that'd be probably the most frustrating job, making a schedule, especially whenever it's teenagers, right? And then you're making the schedule, you put the schedule together, and they don't show up. Help! They're not showing up. There's people that are scheduled to be here. They have a responsibility. They're supposed to be here at work. They're supposed to be at this particular place, this particular time, and they're not here. I feel this psalmist, as he said, help, Lord, for the godly man ceaseth, for the faithful fail from among the children of men. Here's a lesson for us. Faithful people are rare. You want to move up in your job? Be faithful. Faithful people are rare. We see God blessing this church in Jerusalem. And one of the reasons I really believe they were faithful. They were steadfast. They continued steadfastly in doctrine and in fellowship and in breaking of bread and of prayer. They were just faithful. They just stayed with it. They just kept coming. They just kept showing up being where they were supposed to be. You ready for another one? One, two, three, four. We've got five left. Proverbs. You ready? Okay, no putting your fingers in the pages. You got to hold. There we go. Proverbs 26. Ready? Let me say it more better. Proverbs chapter 20, verse 6. Go. Okay, Larissa, I think several of you found it right about the same time, but Larissa started reading it first. Here it is. Most men will proclaim everyone his own goodness. Look at this. But a faithful man who can find? Well, I'm just going to mention this and move right on. Faithful people are hard to find. The first one, faithful people are rare. Faithful people are hard to find. Whether it's at a job or it's at church, faithful people are hard to find. If you would be a faithful people, you'd be valuable. You are faithful. I mean, you're here on a Sunday night, biggest blizzard of the year, and you're here, right? That wind about blew us back home today, or trying to drive home. Regardless of that, most churches that used to have Sunday night services just don't have them anymore. You're here. You're faithful. Listen, God blesses faithfulness. God will bless a faithful husband. God will bless a faithful wife. God will bless faithful children. God will bless when you're faithful to your Bible reading, faithful to your prayer. Faithful people, though, are hard to find. Proverbs 25:13. You ready? Get your Bible ready. Proverbs 25:13. Go. Proverbs 25:13. Okay. Miss Shanna, you started reading it first. Several folks had it right at the same time, but that's not the right verse. But it's a good one. Okay, Miss Pam. Miss Pam got that one. All right. Honey, sounds good. As the cold of snow in the time of harvest. Look at this verse. So is a faithful messenger to them that send him, for he refresheth the soul of his masters. You ever been working outside? It's hot. It's August. It's hot. I've never done this, but I've heard of the guys, you know, on the ranch or on the farm, and they're doing the hay bales. That's a Texas thing, I guess. They're baling hay. You know, the tractor goes through and it makes the hay bales, and they have to stack it, and then they take it into the barn. Brother Wooten tells about this. He did this for several summers. And they stack the hay up into the barn. He said it's the hottest, most miserable job he's ever done. Can you imagine working that? And then somebody pulls up in an ice cream truck. And they pull up in the ice cream truck, but it's not just ice cream. It is shaved ice. Oh, I love not just snow cones. Snow cones are good, but shaved ice, where it's so soft that ice just kind of melts in your mouth. They put the strawberry flavoring on it, and they put some of that cream, not cream cheese, the cheese, what is that? Condensed milk in the middle, the cream in the middle. Oh, I love that. It's so refreshing. It's that you're working so hot, and then somebody brings along something cold for you. As the cold of snow in harvest, so, get back to the verse here, so is a faithful messenger to them that send him. Listen, faithful people are rare. They're hard to find. There's one more. I missed it here. Faithful people are, get this for you, a blessing. Faithful people are a blessing. You know, you can be a blessing to your family. You can be a blessing to your church. You can be a blessing to the Lord. A faithful messenger. What a blessing he is. All right, we got three more. We can do them quick. Proverbs 28:20. Proverbs 28:20. Go. There you go. Okay, good, good, good. Proverbs 28:20, a faithful man shall abound with blessings. But he that maketh haste to be rich shall not be innocent. This is huge, and it's so important that you get. I know I'm having fun here, but don't miss these truths. A faithful man shall abound with blessings. Get this. God blesses faithfulness. Talent's a good thing. Talent is great. I wish I had more of it. You know, Brother Caleb Garraway comes to our church. He can sing, probably plays the piano, he can preach. He's got a voice that just sounds like he's 30 going on 50, you know. And he's amazing, his talents. But, you know, God doesn't bless talent as much as God blesses faithfulness. You may have a talent to do something. If you don't develop that talent faithfully, you're not going to ever get good at that. I'm talking to Brother Ian. It wasn't a conversation, but it reminds me that he was here today. We were talking with him one time about, you know, what did it take? He's a great piano player. Wow, he can play the piano. What did it take to play the piano? And he said something like this, Brother Reyes, the difference between a good piano player and a great piano player is about 10,000 hours of practice. 10,000 hours! Crazy thing was, we were watching that show called Brain Games the other day. And they said the same thing. In order to get really good at something, it takes about 10,000 hours. I heard that number twice. You know, God gives talents, but you know what God blesses? God blesses faithfulness. God blesses the person that gets up and practices. I remember my sister getting up early, early in the morning before anybody else was up in our house, before the sun came up, before the rooster next door started crowing, before all the dogs started barking, and my sister getting up and playing the piano, and it was dark and it was cold in our house. God bless that faithfulness. God blesses faithfulness. God blesses whenever you decide, you know, I'm going to be steadfast. I am going to be steadfast. Yeah, and we're talking about doctrine, we're talking about fellowship and breaking bread and prayers. But all of those things, they're good, but if you are not steadfast, then they're wasted. Faithful. This is so, so important. I've got two more I want you to look up for me. Matthew 25:23. Matthew 25:23. Go. Okay, Larissa was first, but Abigail was half a second behind her. Connie had it. I know you had it. I saw it in your eyes. All right. his Lord said unto him, well done. Look at this. Good and faithful servant. Thou hast been faithful over a few things. I will make thee ruler over many things. Enter thou into the joy of the Lord. You know the story where the talents were given? And the servants came back and they gave back their talents and they doubled their talents to both of them. The one that he'd given 5 talents and they brought 10 talents back. The other one he gave, was it 2 or 3, something like that? And he brought double back. And he said to both of them, well done, thou good and faithful servant. You have been faithful over a few things. I'll make thee over ruler over many things. Get this. This is big. I want God to bless my life. God blesses faithfulness. But beyond that, God rewards faithfulness. Enter thou into the joy of the Lord. I just want to convince you tonight to be faithful. I just want to convince you tonight, I am going to be steadfast. I'm going to be the kind of person, I'm there when I'm supposed to be there. I'm there where I'm supposed to be, and I'm going to do it, not just once or twice, not just every once in a while, but I'm going to be faithful. I'm going to be steadfast. I believe we see that in this first church in Jerusalem. One last verse. Not only does God bless faithfulness, not only does God reward faithfulness, not only is a faithful man hard to find, and not only is a faithful man rare, and not only is a faithful man a blessing, but there's something else. And here it is. 1 Corinthians 4:2. 1 Corinthians 4:2. Go. That's it. Janessa grabbed that one. And Abigail, right there next to her again. Okay, look. Moreover, listen to this verse. We are almost done. Moreover, it is required in stewards that a man be found, what's that word? Faithful. Not only does God bless faithfulness, and not only does God reward faithfulness, but God requires faithfulness. If I'm going to be a steward, a disciple, a follower of Jesus Christ, God requires it. Now, he doesn't base my salvation on it. And if you trust Jesus Christ as your Savior, you're saved based on what he's done, not based on what you've done. But if you are a steward, if he's trusted you with anything, he requires faithfulness. Christians, listen, God requires faithfulness. The Bible says they continued steadfastly in doctrine. And get this, we need people in this church who will be faithful to study the Bible. We need people to be faithful to study the truths of the Word of God, steadfast and committed and faithful to study the Bible. We need that. I believe if we have that, we're going to have a growing church of disciples, people that love God, love Jesus, willing to serve Him. They continue steadfast in doctrine. They continue steadfast in fellowship. And we need this. We need a church of people who are faithful, committed, steadfast, caring for each other. Fellowship. They continued steadfast. They continued steadfastly in breaking of bread. You can interpret this so many different ways, but here's what I want you to get from this. We need people steadfast, faithful in serving each other. Somebody had to show up to make the bread. Somebody had to show up to serve the bread. Somebody had to show up to prepare the meal. We need folks that are faithful. Faithful. And God rewards it. God blesses that. God requires that. We need people, the Bible says, they continued steadfastly in prayers. And we need people who are committed to pray. Can I challenge you tonight to be a steadfast Christian, a faithful Christian? Not just when I feel like it, Christian. Not just whenever it works in my schedule, Christian. Not just whenever there's not a run for some group that's raising money, Christian. But I'm going to be a steadfast where I'm supposed to be, in the place I'm supposed to be, serving the way I'm supposed to be. That type of steadfast, faithful Christian. Look at Acts chapter 2, verse 47. Find that. That's our last verse tonight. We're going to come back to where we started. What happened? What happened when there was a group of people, a group of Christians that trusted Jesus Christ as their Savior? What happened in Jerusalem, in this city, this area, whenever there was a group of steadfast Christians? Well, Acts chapter 2, verse 47, here's how the verse ends. And the Lord added to the church daily such as should be saved. God blessed him. God blessed these people. Jerusalem was a rough place to be. Jesus had been crucified recently. There was turmoil. This is during the time when these people were being persecuted for what they believed. Some of them were being thrown in jail, but they stayed steadfast. They stayed faithful. They did what was right. And the Bible says the Lord added to the church today. God blessed them. We don't have a whole lot of other details about their life, but we see that they're faithful. They were steadfast. And the Lord added to the church daily such as should be saved. Father, I pray that you'd help us to be faithful. I pray that you'd help us to be steadfast. While this is a simple truth, Lord, I believe that if we would get this, this could be a transformational truth. Every one of us needs to decide to be faithful. And we need to work it into our lives so that faithfulness becomes a habit. And Lord, I pray that you'd help us to be steadfast Christians. We'd stand steadfast against the enemy, the devil, and we would stand steadfast and be faithful to you.